Welcome to Sonic Lit, a spoken web radio show. My name's Catherine McLeod, and I'm here in the booth with...
Jason Camelot.
Welcome, and thanks for joining us this afternoon. We're here in the booth at CGLO, and we're looking forward to bringing you some Montreal sounds this afternoon, some Montreal literary audio. Well, you're going to hear what we have in store. We're going to jump right in and play a poem that's actually called Montreal. Jason, do you want to introduce the poet?
Sure. This is a poem by A.M. Klein, and it's one of the first poems, perhaps, that was written in Franglais. Although I suppose Drummond would be another example of that from much earlier. But the first modern poem written in Franglais by Montreal poet A.M. Klein.
The following poem in praise of the city of Montreal is an attempt at a bilingual language. O city, metropole, isle, riverine, your ancient pavages and sainted roots traverse my spirit's conjured avenues. Splendor arabic of your promenades foliates there, and there your masonry of pendant balcon and escaliered march, unique midst English habitat, is vivid Normandy. You populate the pupils of my eyes. Thus does the Indian plumet furtivate still through your painted autumns, Ville Marie. Though palisades of past, though calumet with tabac of your peace infumes the air, still do I spy the phantom, aquiline, genuflect, moccasined behind the statue in the square. Thus costumed images before me pass, haunting your archives architectural. Coureur de bois and posts where pelts were portaged. Seigneur within his candled manoir, Scott ambulant through his bank, pillared and vast. Within your chapels, voyaged mariners still pray, and personage departed, all present from your past. Grand port of navigations, multiple the lexicons uncargoed at your keys, sonant though strange to me. But chiefest eye auditor of your music, cherish the joined double-melodied vocabulary where English vocable and roll a Cossack mollified by the parle of French bilinguifact your air. Such your suaver voice, hushed Hushalaga. But for me also sound your potencies, fortissimos of sirens fluvial, bruit of manufactory, and thunder from foundry issuant all poistant tone implenishing your heptamad. And then sank silence, and your argent belfries clamant in orison. You are a part of me, O all your quartiers, and of dire pauvreté, and of richesse, to finish time my homage loyal claim. You are locale of infancy, milieu vital of institutes that formed my fate, and you above the city, scintillant Mount Royal, are my spirit's mother, our native patronate. Never do I sojourn in alien place, but I do languish for your scenes and sounds, city of reverie, nostalgic isle, pendant most brilliant on Laurentian cord. The coins of your boulevards, my signory, your suburbs are my exiles, verdure fresh, your parks, your fountain parks, pasture of memory. City, oh city, you are visioned as a parchment roll of secular exploit, inked with the script of eterne souvenir. You are in sound, chanson, and instrument. Mental, you rest forever edified with tower and dome. And in these beating vaults, here in these beating vaults, you will for all my mortal time reside.
Who on earth gets to have a beginning, gets to have a narrative, gets to have a conclusion, gets to luxuriate as the glacial depression seizes, gets to imagine a blue blaze of joy, who on earth gets to inch towards bliss as some... washes up against a bigger footprint and worry shrinks the dollar signs, but eyes and intestines widen. Who on earth gets to have a beginning, gets to have a narrative?
Track was called Part One Trajectory from a new album by the group Fire. And before that, you heard Montreal by the poet A.M. Klein. You might be wondering what those pieces had in common. They actually had so much in common. We're gonna chat about that. We were listening to that with you. My name is Catherine McLeod, and I'm here with Jason Kamlet. What did we just hear? What do we make of that as listeners?
Well, I think we're listening to Montreal poets experimenting with sound from very different periods, though, obviously. Montreal, A.M. Klein, was a modernist poet, sort of early Canadian modernist, and recorded that poem sometime in the 1950s. And Fear, or F-Y-E-A-R, just so you know how it's spelled, is Kai Kello and a group, a sort of contemporary Montreal poet.
The other thing they really have in common is they're both off of albums, which I just think is so fascinating. Right now, it feels like Montreal poets are putting out albums, and it feels like an exciting moment to be thinking about sound here in Montreal. So we really, when thinking about some Montreal sounds to feature on today's show, we thought, well, why not feature two albums, but two albums from really different periods? The album called Six Montreal Poets, and the album called Fear by the band Fear, with Kai Kello and also Tahita Tanya Evanson on vocals, and actually a whole list of musicians that I'm going to share in a moment because I have to read it out. Such a long list.
But you can definitely, very prominent is Jason Sharp's baritone saxophone playing on that album. Yeah, two albums. Six Montreal Poets was released in 1957. By Folkways Records. So it was one of the many records that Folkways put out when they decided to get into the poetry album business, in addition to releasing folk music albums. And they took a kind of anthropological approach to poetry. So they put out albums of poetry from many different parts of the world, including Canada. So they didn't overlook Canada. And at the time, some of the most prominent poets in Canada were living either and working either in Montreal or in Toronto. So the anthology Six Montreal Poets featured some of the most prominent poets from the 1930s through the 1950s. And we're going to be listening to some samples from that record, a few tracks from each of the six poets that are featured on that record, and then alternating between those readings and the Fear album.
Yeah, I like that it's like Six Montreal Poets, because this Fear album also is like, well, the Six Montreal Poets weren't a collective of poets, but the full group of Fear, just to read out all the musicians involved, it really in many ways is a who's who of Montreal musicians as well as Montreal poets. Also Montreal visual artist Kevin Kitlow is also part of Fear and was part of the album launch that just happened this past week at the Phi Center. So Fear is made up of Jason Sharp, Kai Kello, Joe Grass, Kevin Yunkit Low, Tahita Tanya Evanson, Jesse Zubat, Joshua Zubat, Stefan Schneider, and Tommy Crane. What a collective.
What a collective. And I'm not going to reveal all of the names of the six Montreal poets featured on that Folkways record just yet. We already know that A.M. Klein was on it. We're going to move right into
A.G.M. Smith.
So A.G.M. Smith and F.R. Scott. We're going to do a little mix of these next two poets, both of whom are really associated with the coming of modernist poetry to Canada. They put out an anthology themselves back in the day.
Yeah, the Preview magazine started in 1942. I was actually talking about that in my class. I teach the Quebec-Montreal Writing and English class, English 244. And this morning I was telling them all about Montreal poetry in the 1940s, and the Preview magazine emerged in 1942, and the first statement also emerged. And we're going to hear actually poets associated with both. So a bit of a deep dive back into Montreal poetry in the 40s. This one, we're starting with A.G.M. Smith from the Preview side,
followed by F.R. Scott.
This is A.J.M. Smith reading a group of his poems. Like an old proud king in a parable, a bitter king in anger to be gone from fawning courtier and doting queen, flung hollow scepter and gilt crown away, and breaking bound of all his counties green, he made a meadow in the northern stone and breathed a palace of inviolable air to cage a heart that caroled like a swan and slept alone, immaculate and gay, with only his pride for a paramour. Oh, who is that bitter king? It is not I. Let me, I beseech thee, father, die from this fat royal life, and lie as naked as a bridegroom by his bride, and let that girl be the cold goddess Pride. And I will sing to the barren rock your difficult, lonely music heart, like an old proud king in a parable.
This is F.R. Scott reading a group of his poems. I have chosen first three Laurentian poems. Surfaces. This rock-bound river, ever flowing obedient to the ineluctable laws, brings a reminder from the barren north of the eternal, lifeless processes. There is an argument that will prevail in this calm stretch of current, slowly drawn toward its final equilibrium. Come, flaunt the brief prerogative of life. Dip your small civilized foot in this cold water and ripple for a moment the smooth surface of time. Laurentian Shield. Hidden in wonder and snow, or sudden with summer, this land stares at the sun in a huge silence, endlessly repeating something we cannot hear. Inarticulate, arctic, not written on by history, empty as paper. It leans away from the world with songs in its lakes, older than love and lost in the miles. This waiting is wanting. It will choose its language when it has chosen its technique, a tongue to shape the vowels of its productivity, a language of flesh and of roses. Now there are pre-words, cabin syllables, nouns of settlement, slowly forming with steel syntax the long sentence of its exploitation. The first cry was the hunter, hungry for fur, and the digger for gold, nomad, no man, a particle. Then the bold commands of monopoly big with machines, carving its kingdoms out of the public wealth. And now the drone of the plane, scouting the ice, fills all the emptiness with neighborhood and links our future over the vanished pole. But a deeper note is sounding, heard in the mines, the scattered camps and the mills, a language of life. And what will be written in the full culture of occupation will come presently, tomorrow, from millions whose hands can turn this rock into children.
PECI, the third album from Montreal-based psychedelic pop rock group Wizard, is coming out October 18th on Lisbon Lux Records. Wizard returns with a bold new installment in their discography, following up their 2016 album Starfish Buffet and 2019 EP Supernatural Mystics. PECI, which is an acronym for Projet d'Eternel Café Internet, is their first primarily francophone album, blending their signature indie dance sound with psychedelic synthetic production. Join Wizard on October 18th at La Sauceronea, where they'll be celebrating the release of PECI alongside Radiant Baby. Tickets available now. For more information about Wizard and their new album, visit at Wizard Music on Instagram or LisbonLuxRecords.com.
The Go-Go Radio Magic Show. Every Friday night from 6 to 8 on CJLO.
This one goes out to the one I love.
Adoro fare volontariato presso CJLO a causa di tutte le persone creative, interessanti e appassionate che ho avuto la possibilità di incontrare. Con tantissime opportunità per imparare tutti gli aspetti della trasmissione e della produzione sonora, essere coinvolti con CJLO è un modo davvero fantastico per farti sentire. Se sei interessato a diventare un volontario con CJLO, invia un'email a volunteer@cjlo.com o fai la domanda su cjlo.com/volunteer.
Future. cultural continuity. Awake all night. The future will blink. A global anxiety.
Mercury lives in the weather, water freezes in midsummer. Mercury lives in the weather, water freezes in midsummer. Mercury
That was from the new album by Fear. It looks like fire, but I guess you could say fire, F-Y-E-A-R, a Montreal collaboration of poets, musicians, and visual artists. And it's from their new album, featuring a number of tracks, parts 1 through 7. And that was part 2, Mercury Looms. You could hear the voices of Kai Kello and Tahita Tanya Evanson really almost becoming like part of the build of the instruments with their words. Jason and I were sitting here listening to that, thinking about how different an experience listening to that album is from listening to those six Montreal poets on the other album that we've been listening to this afternoon.
Yeah. Fire, fear, as you were saying. Maybe it's for your ear, FY ear. Instead of FYI, FY ear.
Yeah, for your ear, yeah.
And so, thinking about like how different these records sound, right? One is sort of just voice, whereas this group is producing very high amplitude, energy, spoken word poetry with very loud instrumentation. Both albums really, though, contain poems that express, serious urgency. So I suppose the loudness, the amount of sound, even the energy in the voice doesn't necessarily reflect the degrees of urgency that are expressed in the work of these different poets who recorded albums in the 50s and now.
Also with the album by Fear was just performed at the Phi Center last week. And if you can imagine listening to it with Kevin Lowe's visuals, I've seen versions of this performance back when they performed it at Sala Rosa about 2 years ago. And I remember the visuals almost are like punctuation, like punctuating the rhythms of the pieces, and the visuals almost become like an instrument as well. So if you can just imagine that experience of sight and sound at once. So, I don't know. Do we want to chat more about performance or head back into the albums?
Well, let's go back into the albums.
Yeah.
So we're revealing more of the six Montreal poets who were recorded on this and this Folkways album. Mm-hmm. The next two poets that we're going to listen to, we heard F.R. Scott and who else?
A.J.M. Smith, yeah.
Isn't it funny how so many of those poets use their, various initials before their names?
I was actually asking my class to think about that this morning. Oh, really? So it's funny. I've never chatted with anyone about that. So I'm happy that you brought that up, because I always like to ask students, well, who of the modernist poets might they be thinking of or modeling themselves on? And indeed, someone like T.S. Eliot comes to mind, and thinking, I think maybe the modernist aesthetic, something about abbreviating your name was very appealing to those modernists.
Yeah. Do you have a middle name, Catherine?
I do. It starts with an M.
Oh.
So I could be K.M. MacLeod.
Yeah, I would be J.E. Camelot were a modernist Canadian poet.
Yeah.
But the next poet we're going to listen to didn't use initials. He used his first name, Irving. This is Irving Layton. We're going to listen to a few poems by Irving Layton and then a couple of poems by Louis Dudek. Louis Dudek taught at McGill for many years and was an important modernist Canadian poet, working especially in the long poem. Irving Layton was, very well-known Montreal poet, a major influence on Leonard Cohen, actually, because he taught him at Herzliya High School. So he was Leonard Cohen's high school teacher and really took him under his wing and sort of helped cultivate Cohen into a poet. There's that famous line, I think.
He taught me how to dress and he taught me how to live, or
So Cohen said, I taught him how to dress and he taught me how to live.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When listening to Irving Layton, we're going to hear the Birth of Tragedy and then the Fertile Muck. I always like to think of how someone sounds in their voice says so much about just how they think about poetry and how they think about life in general. I feel like the way that Layton, you used the word force actually earlier, Jason, the forcefulness of his voice, I think tells us a lot about what he imagines poetry to what he wants poetry to sound like in Canada in the 1940s in this moment, or maybe in the 50s, because Absolutely. Again, this record was a little bit later. But yeah, like almost like this is the kind of poetry he wants to hear.
The birth of tragedy. And me happiest when I compose poems. Love, power, the huzzah of battle are something, are much. Yet a poem includes them like a pool, water, and reflection. In me, nature's divided things, tree, mold on tree, have their fruition. I am their core. Let them swap, bandy, like a flame swerve. I am their mouth. As a mouth, I serve. And I observe how the sensual moths, big with odor and sunshine, dart into the perilous shrubbery, or drop their visiting shadows upon the garden I one year made a flowering stone to be a footstool for the perfect gods. Who, friends to the ascending orders, will sustain this passionate meditation and call down pardons for the insurgent blood? A quiet madman, never far from tears, I lie like a slain thing under the green air the trees inhabit, or rest upon a chair towards which the inflammable air tumbles on many robin's wings, noting how seasonably leaf and blossom uncurl, and living things arrange their death, while someone from afar off blows birthday candles for the world. The fertile muck. There are brightest apples on those trees, but until I, fabulist, have spoken, they do not know their significance or what other legends are hung like garlands on their black boughs twisting like a rumor. The wind's noise is empty. Nor are the winged insects better off, though they wear my crafty eyes wherever they alight. Stay here, my love. You will see how delicately they deposit me on the leaves of elms or fold me in the Orion dust of summer. And if in August joiners and bricklayers are thick as flies around us, building expensive bungalows for those who do not need them, unless they release me roaring from their moth-proof cupboards, their buyers will have no joy, no ease. I could extend their rooms for them without cost and give them crazy sundials to tell the time with, but I have noticed how my irregular footprint horrifies them evenings and Sunday afternoons. They spray for hours to erase its shadow. How to dominate reality. Love is one way, imagination another. Sit here beside me, sweet. Take my hard hand in yours. We'll mark the butterflies disappearing over the hedge with tiny wristwatches on their wings. Our fingers touching the earth like two Buddhas.
This is Louis Dudek reading two poems from my book, Europe. Poem 19. The commotion of these waves, however strong, cannot disturb the compass line of the horizon, nor the plumb line of gravity, because this cross coordinates the tragic pulls of necessity that chart the ideal endings for waves and storms and sunset winds. The dead scattered on the stage in the fifth act, Cordelia in Lear's arms, Ophelia, Juliet, all silent, show nature restored to order and just measure. The horizon is perfect, and nothing can be stricter than gravity. In relation to these, the stage is rocked and tossed. Kings fall with their crowns. Poets sink with their laurels. Poem 95. The sea retains such images in her ever unchanging waves. For all her infinite variety and the forms inexhaustible of her loves, she is constant always in beauty, which to us need be nothing more than a harmony with the wave on which we move. All ugliness is a distortion of the lovely lines and curves which sincerity makes out of hands and bodies moving in air. Beauty is ordered in nature, as the wind and sea shape each other for pleasure, as the just know, who learn of happiness from the report of their own actions.
In spite of temporary setbacks, we will be able to advance and improve, and that we are entitled to time to advancement, to amelioration. We expect life to follow an arc of increase for each individual in our society to possess this arc. On our planet, some parts live in the space age and others live in rust. All times degraded once, and yet everyone may someday accelerate into the end of the future. The present continuous, the afterlife, and when does the future end? What comes after total achievement and the perfection of life after the pure pursuit? What? We expect that in spite of temporary setbacks, we will be able to advance and improve, and that we are entitled to time to advancement, to amelioration. We expect life to follow an arc of increase for each individual in our society to possess this arc. On our planet, some parts live in the space age and others live in rust. All times degraded once, and yet everyone may someday accelerate into the end of the future. The present continuous, the afterlife, and when does the future end? What comes after total achievement of the perfection of life after the pure pursuit? What? We expect that in spite of temporary setbacks, we'll be able to advance and improve, and that we are entitled to time, to advancement, to amelioration. We expect life to follow an arc of increase for each individual in our society to possess this arc. On our planet, some parts live in the space age and others live in rust. All times degraded once, and yet everyone may someday accelerate into the end of the future. The present continuous, the afterlife, and when does the future end? What comes after total achievement and the perfection of life after the pure pursuit? What? We expect that in spite of temporary setbacks, we will be able to advance and improve, and that we are entitled to time, to advancement, to amelioration. We expect life to follow an arc of increase for each individual in our society to possess this arc. On our planet, some parts live in the space age and others live in rust. All times degrade at once, and yet everyone may someday accelerate into the end of the future. The present continuous, the afterlife, and when does the future end? What comes after total achievement and the perfection of life after the pure pursuit? What? We expect that in spite of temporary setbacks, we will be able to advance and improve, and that we are entitled to time, to advancement, to amelioration. Expect life to follow an arc of increase for each individual in our society to possess this arc on our planet. Some parts live in the space. All times.
We've been listening to Fire. That track was Part 6, Precipice, and that's on the new album Fire, a collective of poets, musicians, and visual artists. And just, yeah, what a sonic experience to be listening to that that album here.
Record sounds so good. It's so big. And
on the headphones.
And just, so incredible. Yeah.
So good. We're here with us. This is Sonic Lit that you're listening to. Sonic Lit, a spoken web radio show. I'm Catherine McLeod, and this is Catherine McLeod and Jason Camelot. And we've been playing Montreal albums this afternoon. Montreal albums of the past and present. We've been hearing from 6 Montreal poets on a Folkways record. And also the brand new album Fire off of Constellation Records. And it wouldn't be a show talking about poets and records in Montreal if we didn't hear from Leonard Cohen.
That's right. Leonard Cohen is poet number 6 on Six Poets Montreal album that was released in 1957. Cohen at the time had just recently been a student, really. As I mentioned before, he was sort of mentored by Irving Layton, who's on this record as well. And he published his first book of poetry, Let Us Compare Mythologies, in 1957, around the same year as this record. So he was already being recognized as an upcoming star, sort of being promoted by Layton and others, but really represented sort of the young future of Montreal modernism. Montreal poets in English at the time really saw themselves as being at the vanguard of poetry in Canada, and they imagined that would continue. And that Leonard Cohen represented the future of their legacy in bringing poetry out of the Victorian period into modernism.
So we'll be hearing a couple poems by Leonard Cohen as recorded on that 6 Montreal Poets album. We're gonna just let them play as they go, starting with this first one.
This is Leonard Cohen reading some poems from my book, Let Us Compare Mythologies. For Wilf and his house. When young, the Christians told me how we pin Jesus like a lovely butterfly against the wood, and I wept beside paintings of Calvary at velvet wounds and delicate twisted feet. But he could not hang softly long, your fighters so proud with bugles, bending flowers with their silver stain. And when I faced the ark for counting, trembling underneath the burning oil, the meadow of running flesh turned sour, and I kissed away my gentle teachers, warned my younger brothers. Among the young and turning great of the large nations, innocent of the spiked wish and the bright crusade, there I could sing my heathen tears between the somersaults and chestnut battles, love the distant saint who fed his arm to flies, mourn the crushed ant, and despise the reason of the heel. Raging and weeping are left on the early road. Now each in his holy hill, the glittering and hurting days are almost done. Then let us compare mythologies. I have learned my elaborate lie of soaring crosses and poison thorns, and how my fathers nailed him like a bat against a barn to greet the autumn and late hungry ravens as a hollow yellow sign. Poem. I heard of a man who says words so beautifully that if he only speaks their name, women give themselves to him. If I am dumb beside your body, while silence blossoms like tumors on our lips, it is because I hear a man climb stairs and clear his throat outside our door. Lovers. During the first pogrom, they met behind the ruins of their homes, sweet merchants trading, her love for a history full of poems. And at the hot ovens, they cunningly managed a brief kiss before the soldier came to knock out her golden teeth. And in the furnace itself, as the flames flamed higher, he tried to kiss her burning breasts as she burned in the fire. Later, he often wondered, was their barter completed, while men around him plundered and knew he had been cheated?
When they poured across the border, I was cautioned to surrender. This I could not do. I took my gun and vanished. I have changed my name so often. I've lost my wife and children, but I've many friends. And some of them are with me. An old woman gave us shelter, kept us hidden in the garret. Then the soldiers came. She died without a whisper. There were three of us this morning. I'm the only one this evening, but I must go on. The frontiers are my prison. Oh, the wind is blowing. Through the graves the wind is blowing. Freedom soon will come. Then we'll come from the shadow.
Les amants étaient chez moi, ils me disent signe-toi, mais je n'ai pas peur.
Pour la nuit nous a cachés, les Allemands l'ont pris.